Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a millennial size attention span.
On Sports Radio 810.
Because there's still a naked baby on the microphone across from me.
WHB.
One of the bigger stories of this last NFL week, we talked plenty about the Rooney Rule and whatnot. But we also had the NFL rule change proposal about the onside kick rule perhaps being changed to allow teams to opt for a 4th and 15 twice a game to potentially keep possession of the football. I think it's kind of a fun, kind of forward-thinking rule. You know, we talked to Matt Derrick on Almost Entirely Sports last week. He thought it seemed gimmicky. I think that's totally fair. Andy Reid said basically as much. I think it's fun, but I'm open to not just my opinion being the one that rules this one. I'm willing to have a conversation about it. And that was one of the predominant reasons we were joined by Matt Verderam of Fansided Friday night on Almost Entirely Sports. I say one of them. I also had a story that I was excited to chat with Matt about regarding one of his other passions, which is dunking on Applebee's. So Matt joined us on Friday night, and he's always been excellent. The last few times he's been on absolute fire, and it felt wrong to not bring you not just his breakdown of if these new rules are going to pass in the NFL for this 2020 season, but also to check on a couple of very important food takes that Verderam has and delivered. But I started off by being distracted by yet another food take and food discussion, and I asked Verderam if he's ready to change his food following forever.
Depends. What following is it?
Well, I think it's ultimately going to be up to you, because I wasn't. This is not part of the Applebee's discussion that I'm looking forward to having with you, but it is based on pizza. And I just saw a hot pizza take scroll up on my timeline literally during the last break of someone arguing that Chicago style deep dish isn't actually pizza. I've seen this before. People be like, it's basically lasagna, and I kind of understand that. But you're a world traveler. You've got the jersey, you've got the Chicago now, you've got all of these allegiances, and I'm just sort of curious about your general like pizza hierarchy of like best case to worst case scenario in terms of pizza style.
Okay. So first of all, by the way, I'm from New York. I'm not from New Jersey.
I'm sorry to misdiagnose you. I thought, are you a Devils fan though?
I am a Devils fan.
Okay, yes. That's so what I was doing there.
I am a New Yorker through and through, and New Jersey is not New York, never will be, as much as it would like to be.
We've taken all of the Jersey folks out of here. They're out now. I'm sorry.
Jersey Jersey's nothing but a road that you have to pay $23 to get on. It smells like garbage. Okay, so as far as my pizza tastes, like, this is pretty simple. I am a fan of the whole genre. Okay, I also am a hardcore through and through Italian. My whole family on both sides. So if I turn my back on any kind of pizza, I'm shunned.
That's a good point.
But New York to me is great because you can get it on the go. Like if you're in New York City, you're walking around, you're kind of hungry, you need a slice, you can grab it, fold it up, eat it, you're good to go. Now, it might cost you $28 for a sliced pizza, but it's a really good sliced pizza. It's roasted sausage on there, a little mushroom, it's golden. Chicago pizza is good from the standpoint that if you're looking for like a meal, that's like a slice of pizza is a meal.
Right.
It's going to take you a little while. You've got to kind of think about what you've done as you're eating it.
Right.
You can't just burn through four slices like you can New York style. I put New York one because I like the convenience of it.
Sure.
Two for Chicago, and then like 878 is St. Louis. That's not easy.
That's good.
I cannot stand when people from St. Louis jump in the conversation. What about my pizza? Your pizza's roadkill. It has no business being involved in the conversation.
If we ever again in the history of this show have you on and I don't get at least one food take from you, I need you to yell at me and remind me that I forgot that week, because I feel like maybe second to your opinions of Bill O'Brien, you have a passion of your food takes that I appreciate so much.
I do. I'm a big look, if anyone's ever seen me, I'm a big food connoisseur, and I think you have to have passion in your life. I certainly have passion when it comes to football, and when it comes to food.
Yep.
And so I do have some strong opinions for sure.
I sent you an article earlier today because I very rarely ever give out assigned reading, but I wanted to make sure you were aware of this story where we're now on some delivery apps, Chuck E. Cheese, Hooters and Applebee's have essentially created
the holy trinity of fine dining.
It really is. The three of them have all created basically false fronts. They're a money laundering company at this point. You have Pascali's Pizza and Neighborhood Wings and Hootie's Burger Bar or something like that. I find that joyous. I think the thing that is my favorite though is like, Chuck E. Cheese and Hooters both have like a bit, right? Like they're doing a thing in the building. And so I understand them doing it. Applebee's just understands that no one ever orders their food on purpose. Applebee's apparently is self-aware that this brand with 100% name recognition is only a spot for desperation. And I was curious of your thoughts on that as a man who is also passionate in a way about Applebee's.
Yeah. Well, first of all, for your audience, and hopefully they've stuck around to this point. We talked about Applebee's the last time I was on.
Yes.
And we got into a very deep discussion as to how Applebee's has, in some of its locations, Applebee's After Dark, the nightclub.
So good.
I got to tell you, shocked that didn't catch on.
I'm afraid that might be one of the things that coronavirus doesn't bring back into our lives, and I just can't go on not thinking that exists somewhere.
It's unbelievable. When I go back in New York, I'll pass by that Applebee's that I first saw it at, and I'll let you know.
Please do.
I'll do an investigative report, but I will not go inside. you come back out, you're instantly, you have like, lost like 45 IQ points.
Right.
But look, I think I did read the article. I was not aware of it before I read it. And it cracks me up from the standpoint of like all three of those places, right? Like those, all three of them. Now, Chuck E. Cheese is a little different because it's kind of obviously geared toward kids.
Right.
So, like, it's a little different in the sense if you go at this age in your life, and I'm 31, if I'm going, it's because my daughter wants to go.
I would hope so.
If you're 30-plus years old, hell, if you're 16-plus,
yeah.
14-plus.
Yeah. I don't know where that cutoff is, but I think it's probably 16. 16 feels right.
Yeah, okay, sure. If you're going for any other reason other than, like, I'm taking my little sibling or I'm taking my child, I have deep concerns.
Yes.
Potentially that might require law enforcement.
Correct.
So I think you do have to think of it a little differently, but the food is disgusting. If you're ordering anything that's coming from Chuck E. Cheese's, you need to seek help immediately.
I think I'd rather
Applebee's
have
Applebee's and Hooters.
Oops, sorry.
Applebee's and Hooters are just like, I don't understand the allure of eating. For Applebee's, it's just like a watered-down Chili's, which is a watered-down TGI Fridays.
Wow, the, holy bleep. Holy bleep, Matt. You just broke it open. You solved the case.
It's just, and they know that they're that.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to sell you this gross pizza on the side. And Hooters is just, look, the bit is so old at this point.
Yeah.
There's no, at this, look, maybe in the 70s and the 80s, Hooters is really popping. At this point, if you go to Hooters, it's kind of sad. Like, if your friend calls you up and says, hey, where are you at, Josh? If you're out of Hooters, 100% chance you're saying something else. I'm at the OTB, and like, it's still better. It's still better than being at the Hooters.
I'm currently doing drugs alone in a vacant home. Oh, okay. At least you're not at Hooters.
Like drinking behind a dumpster. And your friend would be less concerned than if you were like, I'm getting wings at Hooters. The reality is all three of those places know that they're garbage. And so they have to peddle this, like, knockoff garbage in a hope that you're not going to find out. And frankly, the whole thing is appalling.
Rudy had a take. Go ahead, Rudy.
Yeah, Pascalis or Emos?
Oh, wow. So Pascalis is the Chuck E. Cheese front. Are you eating Emos or Pascalis?
God. I guess Emos, because I don't know what it is.
It's a St. Louis.
It's St. Louis. It's
pizza.
St. Louis.
It's really popular here. Now. I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's from St. Louis, but it's here in Kansas City, too. Now.
I'll give you a third option, which is just you can eat fistfuls of tokens from Chuck E. Cheese.
Can I go full New Yorker and just eat from Sbarro?
Yes.
100%.
Yes, yes. That's also on the table.
They're about to close up, so I just go. And by the way, let me tell you something. If you've ever eaten Sbarro, you know what a low option that is. Like, anyone who's listening right now who's been to Sbarro is like, Jesus, you went to Sbarro? Yeah, that's where we are. Here,
you went to Sbarro's? Is there not a Hooters nearby? My God, have some self-respect.
Like, is there not a vending machine with cigarettes in it?
Damn it. Oh, good. All right. Well, can I get cigarettes, a vending machine full of cigarettes delivered on DoorDash? Is that available? Is there a front for that also? I don't.
You go to a diner, there's a 100% chance you can get a pack of lung darts for like $4 and then just pack on like those breath mints. Because everybody, yeah. That always killed me when I was a kid. You'd see people loading up, getting like the Marlboros out of the thing. Which, like, hey, whatever, you smoke, fair enough. But then they go, hold on a minute. They'd be digging for change to get that, you know, 35 cents out of their pockets for those breath mints.
Right.
They're like, hey, you know what? You could save all $4.35 of that. Just quit smoking.
That's probably not. You know what? That's probably not going to even out, my guy. I'd have to imagine. I think those mints are probably not doing quite as much work as you're asking them to do.
No, unless you're rubbing them down on your clothes, no, you're probably out of luck.
Oh my God! Do you want to talk about a football thing, or do you want to just call it?
It's your show.
I do want to.
Come on, I answer the question.
I do want to ask you about football things. I'm also going to tweet out a link to our previous food conversation. If anybody missed that last time, you can get it at JB Briscoe. This is Matt Verder. I'm a fan side. He usually talks about football things. Occasionally talk about food things, and the entire show goes up in flames, but in a wonderful, beautiful way. The NFL has rule proposals. God, I can't shift out of that. The rule proposals came out, and there's the 4th and 15 onside kick. There's the booth ref. There's some other garbage. Let's pretend that matters, Matt.
Sure, let's do it. First of all, the sky judge thing, I don't understand how this hasn't been in effect for the last, like, 15 years.
Correct.
Like, at some point, the NFL loves technology, and I think that's great. I never understand sports. It's shunned. Like, baseball just refuses to acknowledge that there's something called a camera. I think at some point, football has done pretty well with that. But I do think in this instance, yeah, look, this is something that they've lagged behind on. There's no reason for football not to have, Skycam all the time, have an extra official up in the booth. I think that's something that should pass easily. I expect it to. And then I think 4th and 15 is really interesting. If you're somewhat of a old school football fan, you're probably not going to like it. If you're new school, you might. I typically few old school, but I actually like this rule. Like they, the way they changed the kickoffs last year in reference to the onside kicks, it was impossible to recover one. I think the rate was like 6% or something like that, like some ludicrous number. So if you're going to do that, you're basically outlawing the onside kick. So I don't mind this. Look, why don't you have 4th and 15? It's exciting. Give your team a shot, right? Unless you have Mitchell Trubisky, then you might as well just kick off. But I think it's a fun thing. I think it's interesting. I think it will. Look, what will teams convert? I mean, I'd have to. I'm sure that football nerds could tell you, the exact percentage over the last 10 years. But I would think probably 20% of the time, maybe you'll convert that. Now, if you have some weapons like Kansas City does, and maybe you're converting it 40% of the time, half the time, but. I think it's interesting. I'd like to see it personally.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going to lean on it because I think that it's easy to go, this Andy Reid's take was basically like, we could definitely crush that, but I'm old school and I like having, onside kicks or whatever. I don't like change. But yeah, I mean, with the onside kicks being as rarely successful as they are, I understand the standpoint of like you don't want to devalue the lead or whatever. But it's fun. Like, I would like to see it.
Well, you always look. The idea is, if you're the league, the idea is to make these games as interesting as possible for as long as possible.
Yep.
Well, that adds intrigue, right? Like, you think, hey, like, we need to keep scoring because what if this happens? The other thing I like, too, that I think there is an interesting wrinkle in it, you don't have to be trailing.
Right.
So, let's just stick with the Chiefs for a minute, since they're probably the most explosive team in football.
Yes.
Let's just say they're playing a game. Let's say the Bills game. They're on the road.
Yes.
They just score. They're up 17-10 with like 30 seconds before the half.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
If you're the Chiefs, do you say, you know what? If we don't get this, they probably don't have enough time to score a touchdown. Maybe kick the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But with our offense, if we get it, we might be able to get down, get another 3 points. We're 20-10, maybe, depending on the scenario, maybe we get the ball to start the third quarter. And now all of a sudden, we can just bury them and they never see the football. We have 3 straight possessions and good night. I think that's where it is interesting. I think end of half scenarios, I think you would see some teams say, look, let's take a shot on this. Let's do some things where we could maybe steal a possession, maybe hit 3 possessions in a row, even if one is fairly truncated because of the clock. I like the strategy of it. I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. I would like to see the NFL try it. And look, if it doesn't work and it's gimmicky, get rid of it after a year or so.
Yeah, that's true. They tried the pass interference thing for a season. Like, yeah, no, that was bad.
Didn't.
That's true. You're right.
They didn't try that for a minute.
It was in the rule book for a year.
Al Riveron was like, that's nice.
Yeah.
There could be an assault in the end zone.
You're right.
We're not reviewing that. So.
That's true. That's absolutely fair. That one's on me. But yeah, you're right. They could just stop doing it. And I don't know if everyone has caught up, because the initial report was that you would have to be trailing to do it. And then it came out on Thursday that you actually can just do it whenever, just up to 2 times per game. And look, while I do think Andy Reid's very genuine whenever he says, like, I'm old school and I kind of like how things are, I also think he would have a blast having 4th and 15 plays where an interception is actually a good thing, where you've got to get 15, but 12 doesn't do bleep. I think that would be fun.
I also think, too, like, Andy, like, and I heard the same quote, like, okay, he's not into it, but if that thing gets passed, you better believe they're going to have 20 of those calls in the play.
100%.
They are going to have all kinds of ridiculousness to try to get the, and I also would point out too, and again, this coming from me, and I'm pretty old school with this kind of stuff. I'm pretty traditional, but in 1994, the NFL put in the 2-point conversion, which obviously had been in college football, the American Football League had it, the old AFL before it got the merger, and a lot of people were really like, well, that's gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you go back and watch an old football game. Because we're quarantined, I have nothing else to do.
Right.
I watched the old Chiefs Oilers 93 playoff game, and the Chiefs go up 28-20 with like 2 minutes left. And Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, his own building with a great offense, gets the ball back. You're like, oh, they're scoring, they're down 8.
Yeah.
Now you'd be like, man, they could still do that. Like,
yeah.
Tie the game.
Absolutely.
And again, the longer the game is exciting and interesting, the better it is. I mean, yeah, if you're the team that's leading, maybe it's not as fun.
Right.
But on the whole, it's more interesting. It's more exciting. So I think it's not a bad thing. And again, if it comes off gimmicky, it feels weird after a year or two, and you want to scrap it. I mean, people are unaware because stuff just gets lost to history. You know, in the 50s, if a player got tackled all the way to the ground, but they didn't lose their forward momentum, they could get up and keep running.
I didn't know that. No.
That was the rule. And there's video. the guy gets tackled. You know, it's kind of tripped up,
right,
falls on his face, but he's still moving, gets up, and just starts running again. Has to be tackled all again. Like, well, that rule's not in the books anymore.
But, yeah.
You know, it was. You tried it. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fun. And look, again, it's not, you're not making all points scored in the fourth quarter worth double. It's not that. It's just, right, Here's a way that you can do a thing that is already in the rule book where onside kicks are allowed and that, you know, are a common part of the game. Now you can do this instead. Do you think that I don't know if this has any correlation at all, but do you think that there might be any correlation to having this be another thing that gets removed from the kicking game, and then it, maybe at the very least even evolving into something more like what the XFL was doing?
Maybe. The NFL has been trying to get safer for, you know, a real effort, I would say, for about a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the game agrees that the most dangerous plays are kickoffs especially, and to some degree punts, because you've got a guy who's getting the ball and he's looking up into the sky, and you know, you got 12, you know, 10, 11 guys barreling down in on him. So I do think there's something to that. I do think I think it's going to be hard to completely take the kicking game out of the league unless they just finally get to the point of the shit. Look, just everybody starts at 25-yard line, you know, whatever yard line they decide on. But I don't think that's going to happen relatively soon. I do think this is another way to – at least take out a play that maybe is a little dangerous. But I think most of the motivation is just, hey, look, let's put a play in there that is exciting, the fans want to see, that it might get converted. And look, NFL loves its quarterbacks. Well, guess who's going to shine on those plays?
Yep.
The best quarterbacks in the league.
Yep.
It's going to incentivize teams that have really good quarterbacks to say, you know what, fine, we're going for it. We don't care. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, if there's a game where they're down, you know, 7 points and they just scored and there's like 3 minutes on the clock. Now, you might kick the ball off and say, look, we'll try to hold them 3 and out. But if you're the Chiefs under these rules,
yes,
if that gets, you're just like, yeah, there's no way in hell we're kicking off.
Yep.
Like, we're putting the ball right in his hands and we're going to let Mahomes complete this thing from 18 yards to Tyreek Hill. And then we're going to go down and score.
Yep.
Like, I think, you know, it will obviously have a big oversized advantage with teams that have the great quarterback compared to teams that don't, because teams that don't might be more inclined in that spot. They go, you know, let's just kick it off.
Yeah.
So those are all factors to consider.
I think you're dead on all of them. The ESPN is writing The Last Dance Wave and announced that they're creating a Tom Brady 9-part documentary. This is a man that, for me, I've noticed he was on Howard Stern and said nothing interesting, and so I am finding myself extremely lukewarm on this. Do you care?
I don't, and that's odd for me because, look, as much as I know everybody has Brady and Pat fatigue, I think people who are like, I just want him to retire. Look, he's one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah.
Like, to want him to just be gone, I'll never understand that.
Yeah, I don't either. You're right.
But I just think it's too soon. Like, if the Jordan thing, part of the reason it worked is there's such a mystique around him.
Yep.
It was 20-some years ago that he retired from the Bulls, and that team had such an aura about it. If you did a Brady Belichick doc in 20 years,
yes,
I think it would be received much like the Michael Jordan one is now.
Yep.
But Tom Brady's still playing right now. Like, who? I don't need a Tom Brady documentary. I just watched him play in January. Like, I've literally watched his entire documentary. And I think, look, I do think he's an interesting person, although I don't think he's going to show that. Now, if he shows who he is kind of behind the curtain, then I think it's a lot more interesting. Last year, I had the pleasure of interviewing his father. Went out to San Francisco, talked to him for a little bit. His father's a very nice, very interesting guy. And I think you know, just kind of from speaking to him, there are some things that I think Tom Brady could talk about that would be really compelling. But the question is, was he willing to do that? See, there's a reason The Last Dance didn't come out till now. Well, Jordan wouldn't clear it to be shown.
Yeah.
Well, now it's 20 years later. What does he care?
Right.
It's different. You know, Brady, I think, is still going to really, really, really care about how he comes off because he's still in the limelight.
Yeah, you're not gonna get a crazy Gronk story because they're teammates. They're still teammates.
Right.
Like,
he's
even
not slam Belichick.
Right.
Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Right.
They might play each other. That's why I think the timing is just wrong. If they had waited even like 10 years, then I think Brady at that point, because, you know, what do I care? Like, I don't care.
I'll
say whatever I want to say.
If it came out immediately following his Hall of Fame acceptance speech, I'd be like, all right, well, let's see. Like, let's take it even 5 years afterwards. Because, again, at that point, you know, then Wes Welker doesn't care. Julian Edelman doesn't care what gets said about him. But, you know, whatever terms that Jordan had in control of The Last Dance, like, Brady's agreeing to do this. He's going to have – if they say, hey, can we talk to Julian Edelman? He's going to go, no, I'd rather you didn't, actually. Like, okay, well, we won't then. Like, and then it's over. That's it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, Brady has total control of it. So yeah. – Yeah, you know, that's. I know that was the criticism even of The Last Dance. If there was really a main one, was that, hey, look, this is Jordan's production company. He has a lot of control, and that's why I do think, you know, people do have to realize. And I love The Last Dance. Anyway. I thought it was great, despite being a Knicks fan from the '90s. Still, Charles Smith should be exiled to another dimension. you know, I think, you know, the one thing to keep in mind is that's Jordan's version of the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you know, he's on a sale. He's a great player.
Sure.
But if it was like Ken Burns doing that documentary,
yep,
it would probably be in a little bit of a different tone.
Yep.
Well, this thing with Brady, they're not gonna. You think they're spending a whole episode on Deflategate?
No, probably like, not.
It's probably gonna be like, oh yeah, he missed four games for some reason.
Yeah.
And then just right into that. So, you know, I think you have to factor all that in. Like, if I could see one NFL documentary,
I was gonna ask you that.
People
yes.
in the NFL said, hey, give me the '90s Cowboys.
Yeah.
That thing. Yeah. Unhinged. Like, three Super Bowls, Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson leaving after the second one, all the different legal stuff that went on, America's game. Like, to me, that's fascinating. That would be, you could easily do like a 10-part series on that team. They're just more interesting. Like, that's the thing that hurts the Pats, too, is even beyond Brady, they're almost intentionally uninteresting.
Yes.
There's
nothing about absolutely them. Unintentionally interesting. Wes Welker did the Rex Ryan foot press conference and had to apologize.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, and I think Belichick can be a really interesting guy. He can even be funny, but he's very guarded. Like, he's not Andy Reid. Andy Reid likes to go up and joke about cheeseburgers. And,
yep.
And, you know, I mean, it's a different personality. Belichick's very close to the vest. He's very matter of fact. And, hey, that's fine. He's arguably the greatest coach in NFL history. It just doesn't make for a phenomenal documentary because there's no personality to it. And I just, again, it's just too soon. You know, they just won six titles. They're still involved in the league. Like, it's just, I think the ESPN kind of rushed that thing out there after seeing the success they had now. And I think maybe they missed the mark a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm even just trying to think about other places in sports even. Like, because, look, I care about NFL football in a very likely unreasonable way. Like, that I'm ready to consume a lot of things involved with the NFL, but I've seen people talk about, like, the Florida Gators team with Tim Tebow and Cam Newton and the Pouncies and Percy Harvin and Aaron Hernandez and Urban Meyer. Like, I would watch something about that. I would watch something about Tiger Woods. There's the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30 that I haven't, I mean, that's coming out. Like, that's an interesting topic. I think you could come up with a billion. I mean, eventually there will be something with Kobe, and that'll be fascinating. But, like,
sure.
This is just, like, it's like they found a big name and just said, how many episodes? 9? Yeah, we'll figure it out. It leaves me a little bit bummed out because I just can't really see it being particularly interesting.
And obviously, I mean, I love the NFL. I mean, I work covering the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I would watch quite a bit. I just wish, too, you know, with ESPN Films, they do such a great job with that stuff. Like, why not do something on the steroid era in baseball?
Yeah.
It's just what a ridiculous. Like, I think people forget, and maybe even at this point we're getting to a point now where a lot of sports fans don't even remember it. I mean, Brady Anderson hit 50 home runs. And there's an article on Sports Illustrated. Now, like, Brady Anderson, literally, it's the equivalent of, like, I'm just trying to think, obviously a lot of Royals fans in the market. It's the equivalent of, like, if Lorenzo Cain hit 50 home runs one year.
I'm gonna see if we can find the year for Brady Anderson. I'm pulling up Brady Anderson Baseball Reference. I'll have this for you.
96, I think. Like that. And there's an article in SI about how he became, like, this unbelievable power hitter. And in the article, he's like, yeah, I just rollerbladed a lot and got stronger. And, like, that was the explanation. That was it. It was like, oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense. Like, he rollerbladed and stuff. Now he hits 50 home runs a season. Like, that would be, to me, so incredibly fast. Like, forget even McGuire and Sosa. I mean, obviously, you got to talk about Bonds a lot. But, like, the ancillary guys.
Yeah.
Guys who no one even remembers who hit 35, 40. I mean, I'm an A's fan. Like, I don't know if he's on PEDs or not, but, like, give me, like, a Geronimo Barroa profile.
Yeah.
Where you're like, Geronimo Barroa hit 38 homers in the middle of the year, and they lost 95 games, and then just disappeared. Like, what?
Okay, I'm gonna just read you 15 numbers, and I know that's questionable radio, but this is Brady Anderson's career home run totals for the 15 years he was in baseball, and let's just sort of see if you can spot kind of the bell curve of maybe whenever, and there's kind of a bell curve, and then maybe allegedly, maybe a little steroid hit. Here we go. 1, 0, 1, 4, 3, 2, 21, 13, 12, 16, 50, 18, 18, 24, 19, 8-1.
I love how it was like the 1 year.
It's just one.
Scale back.
If you cut that out, it's like, you know what? He had a nice little. He had about almost, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years in there. He hit a dozen to 24 home runs. That's nice. But there's a 50 in the middle.
And it just cracks you up because it's like, look, let's just call it what it is. I mean, yeah. So you want to throw the word allegedly on there? Fine. The reality is, I wonder if he was sitting in August with about 38 home runs, and he stopped and he's like, man, you know what? I got to cut that. This is – somebody's going to notice something. And I just think that would be like – that to me would be just a fascinating document. Everybody talks about Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds, and for obvious reasons. Like, talk to me about the guys who were just, like, ridiculous, like, power hitters for, like, a year or 3 years. And again, you know, some of these guys may still be allegedly having done it. A lot of these guys at this point, it's not so alleged.
Right.
Talked about it, whatever. I just think there's so many things that have happened in the last 25 years in sports that you could really get into. Like, really, really get into. And still wait for Brady and give that, you know, 15 years to Brady.
Yep, I'm 100% in on that. Look, Matt, we got food and baseball bookending that conversation. I didn't have that conclusion planned out, but I'm glad that we got there. Always great to talk to you. Appreciate it as always, Matt.
Yeah, take care.
Matt Verderam of Fansided joined us Friday night on Almost Entirely Sports. But this is Sunday morning, so we'll talk about a bunch of other things whenever we come back here on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810.
This is Sports Sunday.
Sorry for the long pause. I had to sneeze.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm still allergic to everything in the air. Spring and summer are Satan's seasons.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Is it weird that I don't really see the appeal of, like, water parks or, like, public pools or whatever? There's that video going around from Lake of the Ozarks where there's just, like, rough estimate, 2 billion people in one big pool of some sort. And Ali Trost of this very radio station tweeted it by saying, to be honest, I wouldn't get into this pool even if there wasn't a worldwide health pandemic. And that's the take I'd been waiting to see since I saw this video this morning. Like, wait a second. And now I've tweeted. If you haven't seen it, you can see the video now at JB Briscoe. I just retweeted it. If you don't leave this scene with coronavirus, you are either leaving it with pink eye or some form of some sexual disease. That's your only. There's no way you leave that pool healthy. I don't know, man. Like, a pool, or like I've enjoyed my family lives in Florida now. So like the couple times I've gone down there and, you know, gotten to go out into the ocean and everything. That's cool because it's, you know, the ocean, and so that's kind of neat. But even then, it's not like I don't feel like the need to just be in a large body of water at all times. But being packed in like living sardines with a bunch of other people in like a public pool, I don't get. I don't necessarily see the appeal of, I don't think. Beards, you don't strike me as a big pool guy. But you also, I asked the question, then you went away from the microphone. So maybe you have some deep, dark secret. Maybe you freaking love pools.
No, not really.
Okay, good. We got three
I'll
words.
Enjoy it, but it's not my favorite.
Got three words out of Beards on that topic. Let's get there. Oh, hold on. Three. I'll, contraction, so only one word. I'll enjoy it, but it's not my favorite. It's 11 words. Thank you, Beards.
Mm-hmm.
12.
I've been to Great Wolf Lodge a couple times.
I never went. And I feel like that's weird because I have, like, some of my family from Wichita would, like, come up to go stay at Great Wolf Lodge. I don't need it. I wouldn't say that I'm not like a Howie Mandel, like, germaphobe, but I'm always kind of things that seem like they would be, you know, petri dishes for growing diseases. Already kind of don't really appeal to me, but also just like being, I've never been, think about it like this. Whatever it is that you go to, wherever you might go that would have a lot of people there. So maybe it's sporting events, right? Or concerts, or maybe like a really busy restaurant or something. Have you ever been at any of those places surrounded by, you know, hundreds of strangers and thought, I wish we were all in a bath together? Because I don't think I ever have. I don't think I've ever... Beard, to see you smirking, and I would like for you to say whatever it is that you're thinking.
I wasn't thinking anything.
That's actually believable.
I was just laughing at the idea of you just shouting to a group of people, let's all take a bath!
It would be weird. I've never been. I'm trying to think of like the last concert that I went to in the before times, right? Whenever music hadn't been outlawed, and believe it or not, music has actually been outlawed. It's crazy, but like we're basically living in a post-apocalyptic sci-fi movie now, where music has been banned. But I've never been in, like, a concert venue, or the last big event I was at was a sporting game. At no point did I think, man, this would be so much more fun if we were basically all in a big bathtub together. Me and all of these strangers. a few friends on like a getting like a little boat or something. That's fun, but partially because you've got some non-water to be in. And especially now. Like, look, I'm probably as tired of having people yell at me on Twitter about talking about coronavirus as you are tired of yelling at me about it. We're probably all on the same page there, or pretty close to it. But, like, imagine being so absolutely magnetized to a big public pool. Like, yes, now I am going to go hop into this stew of other people's sick bodies. I've got to get my freaking tan on. It just seems wildly unreasonable to me. I don't know, man. I don't know. Here's a sports video game recommendation. We talked about the Mutant Football League at some point last week on Almost Entirely Sports. Somebody on Twitter, I was tweeting about Mutant Football League, which is available on Switch. I think it's still $10 right now. I paid $20 and the next day it went on sale half off, so big win for me. But I have gotten a tremendous amount of enjoyment out of a mobile game that... Beard, did you look to see if this is available on Android?
No, I did not.
Check for me, would you, since you have one? Look up Retro Bowl. Someone tweeted to me and suggested it, and I apologize for not having your tweet up, Tweeter, because your suggestion was absolutely on point.
But yep, it's there.
It is excellent. It is a free mobile... It's free on Android, too, right?
Yes.
Free mobile game. You can unlock like the fullest version of it for $1. It's not like... $10. I ended up paying $1 for it. I don't even really use the features that it adds with paying $1. It is absolutely not necessary to do so. But I played it for like 6 hours, and it was like, hey, do you want to give me $1? Because this game was free, and there are no ads or anything. You can basically just like change the uniforms. So now, as I'm currently the coach of the Arizona No Team Names because licensing. As I'm the head coach of Arizona, I have now changed my team's road pants to red instead of being white on white. That's all I've done with my dollar's worth of new features, but it was worth more than that dollar. There's also some other like coaching coins you can get. You do not need to spend money on this game in any way whatsoever. Again, it's called Retro Bowl. It's a little like pixel art football game that I've just been absolutely tickled by. Because it you get the little satisfaction of playing the games where you actually only play on offense. The defense just kind of sims and you can see how it goes and everything, because just the mechanics of it, I think, would be difficult on mobile. I think it's really smart. But you get a play that shows up and you can either hand it off or you can let the receivers run those routes and try to throw it out there. But the thing that for me is very, very fun is that you can like say what your favorite team is, but I elected it. It's like, well, your favorite team might be really good, and for me it would be. So do you want to just play and see who hires you? And they're not real players, although some of the names are pulled from player name bases, I think, because I have like a receiver named Butker. I don't think that can come. I don't think that's a terribly common name. But you say, you know, do you want to just start with whoever wants to hire you? I was like, yeah, sure. So, all right, Miami hired me in the first year. First year, I take a team with the worst record of the year before, and I take us to the AFC Championship game. This game is not too easy, by the way. I made some moves, and in that offseason, it lets you go through a little draft where, like, it's not even really drafting. You just get a pick in each of the three rounds, and you can sign those players. And that little free agency where if you don't, you know, feel like you've filled out your roster enough, you can spend more of your salary cap to bring in a free agent or two. You've got to keep team morale up. You've got to keep the enthusiasm of your fan base up. You want to keep the owner happy, and obviously you want to win the games. And, you know, I went through that first year and I won the AFC. Well, I got a few other team offers. Pittsburgh one was one of them. Oh, you know, I'll go to Pittsburgh. All right, playing Pittsburgh, and I stink the first year. because I the team was a mess and I needed to add more players. So I go through 2 years of rebuilding and I lose a bunch of games the first and the second year. I win the whole thing. Then after that, most teams want me, not including Kansas City, unfortunately, so I'm still not there. But Arizona offers me a job. Well, I've always had sort of a secondary sports allegiance to Arizona. My grandparents moved there when I was little. So I'm coaching the Arizona team, and I'm trying to build a dynasty now. And I'm really all in. I'm spending all of my coaching credits, and I've hired a new defensive coordinator. It's got all of these little things in it that give... What I really enjoy is like the team management part of these games, but it gives a very satisfying, not terribly complicated, in fact, very uncomplicated, gameplay system where making mistakes is relatively easy and also coming back from them is totally plausible. And I also think it has a dynamic degree of difficulty scaler, so I think it gets more difficult as you get better at it. But I've been frustrated in the way that you want to be frustrated with video games because, you know, my angle was a little off on a deep pass and I threw a pick in the fourth quarter and now I lost. I've been excited in the way that you want video games to be exciting. I've been able to add to my successes and build a team while also having to deal with toxic players and getting player morale where it's supposed to be and all of that. It's fun. Again, it's called Retro Bowl. I think you should try it. It's free. Not a sponsor or anything. Just a very fun little sports game that I'm desperately trying to scratch a little sports itch that way. Also, I'm taking suggestions. If there's something that I've missed that's sort of like that, I don't need it to be officially licensed or whatever. I enjoy Mutant Football League. I'll probably revisit it again very soon, but also having it on mobile but feeling like a real video game is really nice, because even the Switch, which is like I literally have in my backpack right now because I've just been throwing it in my backpack, the Switch still is like you take it out, you know, it's a thing you have to actually go to. Your phone is literally, at least for me, always in my hand or my pocket or on a surface within 3 feet of me. Like, I almost, which might be a larger problem, but I'm in the market for basically any football video games. Roster management, I think, is fun, but the Retro Bowl allows you to have the roster management part, and also, you know, maybe you don't have to fully rely on how good your players are, because you're a little better than the computer. But defensively, you gotta let the chips fall. So there you go. There's a video game recommendation, a sports video game recommendation, if you're looking for something to do while you're maybe not going out as much or whatever. Although honestly, I feel like we've all exaggerated now in retrospect how often we all went out. Well, I haven't gotten to go out to dinner every single night this week, so I'm bored. And you didn't do that anyway. But something you can do at home also. It's very good for playing while watching something you're only kind of interested in, like a Netflix series you've seen before or a Netflix series that someone else is watching and you're just kind of in the room for, or baseball if it ever comes back. It's good. It's a good game. Beards, have you downloaded it yet?
No.
If you're not, I mean, if you don't, who will? If there's a basketball version, will you download that one?
Probably not.
Were you listening to my like 10-minute endorsement of how good this little game is?
I did. I'm just not a mobile game person.
It's not a mobile game though. Like, it doesn't feel like a mobile game, is what I would say. It feels like a stand-up arcade game, is what it feels like. It feels like a coin-operated stand-up arcade game that you don't have to pay a dollar for every 5 minutes. You can choose to pay a dollar for it once ever and then get like 5 or 10 hours of gameplay out of it. Are you a stand-up arcade game person?
Not really.
I didn't think so. Let's take a break.
This is Sports Sunday.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Follow me, then destroy me.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We definitely talked about this during almost entirely sports at some point this week, but Beards, did you hear about the drunken mayor that got caught and pretended to be a corpse?
No.
Seemed like a story you might be interested in. The headline is as good as, I think, just about any headline I've ever seen. From the Evening Standard. Peru town mayor lies in coffin and plays dead after police catch him, quote, flouting lockdown to drink with friends. The image with it.
So he thought it was a good idea to,
yeah, I just showed Beard the picture.
Oh no, the mayor's dead! Oh no! He thought that was a better option.
He was presumably quite drunk. The mayor of a small town in Peru played dead when police snared him flouting lockdown rules to allegedly drink with friends. Jaime Rolando Urbana Torres, the mayor of Tantra, hid in a coffin and faked his own death when officers arrived to arrest him, police said. A picture released by local police shows him lying in an open casket with a face mask on, while his friends are said to have hid in drawers. He was detained for allegedly violating curfew and social distancing laws and was drunk when arrested. The mayor has already faced a barrage of criticisms from locals for being absent for breaking the rules and for being absent from his own town during the lockdown. Beards, any questions I can answer for you?
Not that you can answer.
What questions would you like to ask him if you could?
Why?
Why what?
Just why.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
He wanted to flout lockdown to drink with friends. Next question.
How long did that thought process take, or were there other options he had considered?
I would say it took about 4 beers. actually, that's a pretty good question. If you decided, you know what, I'm drunk and I need to hide from anything, how drunk must you be before you say, I've got it? I'm going to play dead.
Was there a worse option that they considered that they had to say no to?
Pretending to be dead and also naked? I don't know. Very few options would have been worse than that one.